You may be seated and let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for who you are and what you do. We are so grateful for how you come and you birth within us a faith to believe impossible promises. Those things that seem so hard, so difficult, so impossible, you come, Lord, and you speak into them. And I want to thank you that that's really what Christmas is all about. It's what really Advent's all about. It's about you appearing, you coming. And Father, I want to thank you that it just doesn't lend itself to one day of the year. Yes, we celebrate Christ. We celebrate Jesus just a couple of weeks, Lord. We celebrate the birth. Father, I want to thank you for Advent. I want to thank you for the coming and how, Lord, you come so that we can celebrate it every day of our lives. And I want to pray, Lord, that as we open the Word and as we talk about these things, and as we look, Father, through the scope of your Word, the lens of your Word, to the things that have already happened in this service this morning, people coming to Christ this week, people joining, people saying yes to you to go to the nations. I just want to thank you, Lord, that it's Christmas already. This is Christmas. And I want to pray, Father, that you give us that kind of heart, that kind of scope, that kind of look, that kind of direction. And that you'd be glorified and that the Word would come and it would wash, it would sanctify us, it would enlighten us like never before. It would restore our souls that need restoring today. Hearts that are sad would be rejoicing. And Father, that you'd make wise the simple through the Word of God. I want to thank you for this Word. I thank you that you say in Scripture that it's better than money and it tastes better than honey. And I want to thank you for that today. Lord, the way we say it is, it's better than food, it is better than money. So come, Lord. Speak to us. We're listening. We want to hear what you're saying and go from this place following you and your Word and your work. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been wanting to just do this series on Christmas, on Advent. And a couple of weeks ago, before two Sundays ago, we talked about Simeon's hope and how this, how Christmas and the coming of Christ had such great hope, the coming of Messiah. And last week we had our children's event and then our musical, and I really have kind of two messages today. It's Mary's faith and Joseph's courage or obedience. And I was thinking this week about a lady that I knew that was in our church years ago that every July would start playing Christmas music in the middle of July, believe it or not, in North Central Texas. Okay, and for a couple of weeks, our kids put up with Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, and Christmas songs all through those couple of weeks. Christmas in July, right? Just doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense to do that, right? But there was something about her heart and something about the love for the season and the love for who Jesus is and what Jesus was that sometime in July she just broke out the Christmas music and played it throughout the house. And you know, as I was thinking about that today, or this week, and as I was preparing this message, I began to think about the two words that we come to know in our society. First is Christmas. Really, that word comes from the Latin that says Christ's Mass, okay? Christ's Mass, alluding to a service, alluding to the Eucharist of the Catholic Church, okay? Christmas, Christ's Mass. And then there's another word that is not so familiar in our tradition. It's Advent. Advent. And we hear that. And we've heard about Advent wreaths. And some of you practice that. Some of you do that. It's the Advent season. But what does the word Advent mean? The word Advent means the coming of a significant person or the coming of a significant event, a significant time. And so Advent, in the context of Christ's birth, is this coming of this king, this coming of this child. But as I was thinking about just what would happen in service today, and kind of thinking about what would happen in service today. Yeah, on Friday, when Tyler gave his heart to Christ, that was Advent. This is Christmas. It is the appearing of this great God and Savior into this young man's heart. So that when you were 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 and Christ came to you in the middle of July or August, that was Christmas. That was Advent. this significant person of Christ invaded your body by the invitation of your heart and life to Him through faith and obedience. When Katie was a little girl at 9 years old and she started thinking about missions and being a missionary, that was Christmas. It might have been in January. It might have been in February. It might have been in December when they were having a missions conference. I don't know. But that was Christmas. And when they came to our church and began to be a part of us, to want us to send them, and we got to that place to send them, that was Christmas. That was Advent. I think about my own life as a 27-year-old in a hotel room in Houston on about the 20th floor where God delivered me from some things. That was in February, but that was Christmas. That was Advent. That was the coming of a significant event in my life. And what I'm saying is, whether it's July or whether it's December, or whether it's December that we celebrate the birth of Christ, listen, for you and me, we celebrate Advent every single day. Amen. Because we are a people expectant that God does something new. That old things are passed away and all things become new. And those new things are significant events. They're significant times. They're significant places. And there's a significant God that comes again and again to visit His people and to visit us. Not that He comes and leaves. We know the work of the Holy Spirit, but you know what I'm talking about. Those seasons in our lives where God just seemed to work, came to work, and we made those decisions for Christ. We made those decisions for life change. We made those decisions that said we are going to be what you called us to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas today. It's the coming. As we have celebrated Christ, as we have worshiped Him, it is His appearing in our lives. It's Christmas. When I think about the Christmas story in Scripture, when I think about this this virgin daughter of Israel named Mary, where the angel comes to her and speaks this word into her, that's Christmas. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 26 through 38. And I want you to see the familiar story, but I want you to see the familiar story, not just as it was then, but and not just as it will be maybe on the 25th, but as it is today for you and me. Because when you open the Scripture and you open up the Word, even though these things speak of things that were ancient and long ago, they still speak today. Amen? And there's a word for you today. And there's a word for me. In this passage, in the passage of Matthew, when we look at Joseph in just a moment. Verse 26, in the sixth month, that is probably the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, who is akin to Mary, who has become pregnant in her old age, way past childbearing birth. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee, to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord's with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement. She kept pondering, what kind of salutation must this be? And so he said, the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Okay, how are you going to do that? How's that going to happen? How can that be? Since I am a virgin." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And at this time, Mary arose. She went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Can you imagine an old lady way past childbearing age? I mean, menopause is long gone. And a young virgin sitting around the coffee table or around the table sipping tea, chuckling about what God was doing. Can you just see it? I can see it. I can just see it. This older lady, past childbearing birth, is promised a son, and this son is coming. I mean, she's in the sixth month, and then here's this virgin woman coming to visit her, who's her kin, who's maybe a cousin. I don't know what she is, but she's related. And they rejoice. A woman toward the end of her life, and a woman really, for all practical purposes, beginning her life. Two impossible promises are coming to life as we look at this. Now, I want to say a couple of things about this passage of Scripture, about Mary. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear this, because I think what Mary heard is what you need to hear today and I need to hear. The first thing that Mary heard was that she heard that God favored her. God favors you. The word is the word grace. Mary, you hail favored one. Mary, who is full and brimming with the grace of God all over her. And there's this word that he's given to her. He says, listen, this angel comes and says, listen, God is pleased with you. God favors you. God has graced you. Now this word is, of course, grace. And grace can mean a whole lot of things to a lot of other people. Grace can just be what we're going to do when we say grace at the table. Grace is just a prayer at the table. For some of us, hopefully all of us in the kingdom of God, grace is that favor that God placed upon us when he saved us. We were saved by grace. We didn't earn it. We were sinners. Paul says in Romans, we were ungodly. We were enemies when Jesus died for you and me. So by his great grace, he saved us. But I believe it's much more than that. There's a scripture in Titus. It's Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to men, all men. And then he says something really significant about this salvation work of grace. Very practical. He says this grace instructs you to deny ungodliness and worldly desire, and to live righteously, godly, and sensibly in this present age. It teaches you to look for the blessed hope of the appearing, of the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ. This grace teaches you how to live. When I think about the Salinases, and as we talked at that table or in their living room the other day, and they said, we want to do life right. The only way that we can do life right is by the grace of God. It's God's favor on our lives to instruct us how to live the life we want to live right. And here's the beautiful, beautiful part of it. You can't do that on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of the living God that is just pouring that grace upon us. And you know what else you need? You and I need. We need one another. We need the community, this church body, or the church body that you come from, so that we are walking in fellowship, that we are walking in accountability, that we are walking life together. Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit in all of us. Amen. Where He is fashioning us and moving. I often think about this because, I don't know about you, but I've read a lot of books on grace, and most of them do not ever mention this passage, Titus chapter 3. And it just grieves me. It grieves me. If I just think that grace is God's unmerited favor, let me ask you this question. When Paul is talking about the thorn in the flesh, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, I want to tell you, he's looking more than just the favor of God. He's looking at the result of the favor of God, which is life, which is holiness, which is godliness, which is reflecting Him. And so when I look at this one phrase, hail favored one, to me, it means there's the breath. I mean, it's not just some kind of black and white picture from the 60s. It's HD. It is something so crystal clear that God comes. He favors you. He puts His Spirit in you. You believe Him by faith. And then what He does is that grace keeps working all your life. Question, will I believe that today? Well, I believe that God's favored me. I'm going to say this. There are some of us in here that we've gone down paths that we've regretted for years and years. And the last thing that we can hear is that God favors us. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're in Christ, it's time to open your ears and hear it. And you might be coming off of something yesterday. But I want to tell you, this God loves you so much that not only does He favor you, but He's got an assignment for you. He's got work for you to do. He's got meaning for you to live out this life. So when I hear, hail, O favored one, and it's just full of grace, I think, God, that's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. She's favored. The next thing that she hears is that God's with you. Listen, some of us need to hear that in some of our darkest moments, our darkest hours. But some of us also need to know it when things are going really, really great. Because it just seems if it's bad or if it's great, we sometimes have, in those days, sometimes we just forget God. But we need to hear it. We need to hear God say, I'm with you. God is with you. And if God is with you, He is for you to operate that grace out in your life from day to day. Day to day. In the daily parts of life. Whether in my marriage or with my family or on my job or in my leisure. If that's what God comes, you're favored. I am with you. Now here's the third thing we need to hear. Not that you're going to have a child, okay? So you don't want to hear that one, right? Right? But notice the context of this next one. Okay. Whoa. All right. So the next one she hears is an impossible word. Verse 38. And I love this verse of Scripture. I think one of my favorite verses of Scripture in all Scripture. Because when he says in verse 38, when she says, you know, Lord, how are you going to do this? Because I'm a virgin and I've known no man. And you know what? Just between you and me and everybody else, I'm going to remain a virgin till I marry. So how are you going to do this? How are we going to see this happen? This impossible word. Now, is it an impossibility for someone who has never had relations to have a baby? I mean, that's a medical impossibility. It just is. And she's believing it. She's just asking God, how are you going to do it? I want to see you pull that out of your hat. How are you going to do that one? Because that's a big thing. Okay, that's a big thing. Let me ask you a question. What's the big thing that you're hoping and praying that God will do that you know He's promised that He'll do? What's the big thing that seems so impossible? It just seems so impossible. For some of you, another 3 days of freedom from drugs is just impossible. But yet God has promised that. 4 or 5 days of peace in my marriage, you might be in a place that that's just impossible. But God speaks peace. God speaks freedom. I mean, I want to say this. It's important. This young woman, and she's young by all accounts and by all what history tells us, she's probably in her mid-teens. She's young. But the Bible says that she's going to believe this word. And I love this whole thought that what he says to her is that he says this, listen, even Elizabeth, she's been barren. She's in her old age. But right now, she's in her 6th month, Mary. She's in her 6th month. And then the angel says in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, I want to tell you what the word nothing means. If you open a Greek testament and you look at the word nothing, it's 2 words. It's 2 words. This is what it is. The first is no. And the second is word. No word. No word will be impossible with God. Listen to it. No word. If I say you're going to have a baby in your virginity, that will not be impossible. No word. No rhema. No rhema will be impossible with God. If God says it, it's settled. It's just settled. You know. I love about what God said. What we say. Oh. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Let me just tell you this. God said it, that settles it. Will you come in alongside and believe that? Because if God said it, he settled. You know how we know that? Because the story before that, Zacharias, he didn't believe. He didn't believe that God was going to give them a child in their old age. And you know what God did to discipline? He took the voice of a priest away for 9 months. I lost my voice 2 weeks ago, and it killed me to lose it for 1 day. It just killed me. I was a watchdog that day for my grandchildren, my 3 grandchildren. Watchdog dad, a watchdog grandfather, and I got to spend the morning with my grandkids. But I had to whisper like that all day. And it was frustrating, and it was hard. And I couldn't work the class. I couldn't work the crowd like I like to work the crowd, you know. My wife tells me I do that all the time. Shot in. I can't imagine going 9 months without speaking. I just can't imagine that. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, by about the 3rd day, I'd be depressed. On the 5th day, I'd be on meds. And on the 10th day, just commit me. But he didn't believe. He did not believe. And so God said, well, watch this. And all of a sudden, he goes quiet, and for 9 months. And all of a sudden, his wife starts showing, right? And all of a sudden, he knows that what God said settled it, whether he believed it or not. But I want to tell you this. He came to believe it, didn't he? He came to believe it. No word will be impossible for God. Now, I just tell you this thing just kind of in a very foundational thing about salvation. Jesus Christ promises to save you and me. And from my perspective and your perspective, that's an impossible word because we can never do it on our own. When I think about the things that go through our lives, the things that happen in our life, you know, that you just have a hard time believing. I mean, because when you look at this verse of scripture, you see that she heard she was favored. You sure saw that she heard God was with her. And then she heard this impossible word that she'd bear a son as a virgin. And what did she do? She simply believed. She believed the impossible word. And she believed that Jesus would be who God says he would be and do what he would do. And she said it. May it be done according to your word. And we need that kind of faith today. May it be done according to your word, according to your purposes, according to what you say. And so when I think about impossible words, there are people who think they can't be forgiven. But I want to tell you, God says, I'll forgive you. They don't believe they could ever be loved, but God says, I love you. They don't believe that they could ever be set free from guilt or shame, but God says, I set you free from guilt or shame. They have this hard time believing that God can and does and wants to use them. But God can and He does. Why? And that's Christmas. That's Christmas. When God comes and delivers us and saves us and forgives us, that's Advent. That's Him coming. So I celebrate the birth of Christ in my life, in His life as He's being formed in me, believing with all my heart that what God says He can do, He does, and what He starts, He finishes. Some of you in here can't believe that you can be changed or transformed or set free. And I want to tell you, if you keep doing what you're doing without God, you won't. But I want to tell you, if you'll believe the promise of God and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, I want to tell you, no word will be impossible for Him. Some of you believe that God can only do this work, that God not only can do this work in your life, but I'm going to tell you, we've got to come to believe that He promises to do this work, that this grace is sufficient, that you don't have to earn it to be changed. Some of us have a hard time believing that God wants to infiltrate every area of our lives, but I tell you, He comes to do that. That may sound like an impossibility or impractical, but that's what He comes to do. We're a people who believe. We believe in God's grace. We believe in God's presence. We believe in God's promises. And we believe in God's power to fulfill the word as He speaks it. And I want to ask you, church, are you believing the promises of God today? And if you're not, then what I think you need to do is go read your Bible again. And if you're not reading your Bible, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be reading Scripture. Because they're filled with the promises of God. Whatever hopeless thing that you're in, I'm going to tell you, in the end of it, if you're in Christ, it's going to turn out okay. Matter of fact, it's going to be the best thing that could ever happen. I mean, that's just how God works. He takes the trial, He takes the junk, He takes the stuff, He takes the failure, He makes it right. Folks, do you believe that today? Have you not seen it before? Let's see it again. Well, that's Mary's faith. She believes the promises of God. But there's a problem. And his name is Joseph. Because they're engaged. And they're probably living far apart from each other. And so he finds out that his betrothed, which is good as married in those days, has a child. And he knows that that baby is not his. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's look at this story very quickly. Matthew chapter 1. Because I want to tell you that when I look at this couple and I see faith and I see courage and work. When I see faith and I see courage and obedience. And I see that this is the peace. This is why we do missions. This is why we do the things that we do. Because we believe. And when we believe and God says it, we act. I mean, does it make sense sometimes? No. Did it make sense that a church that was running about 200 in worship would go and adopt an unreached people group on the other side of the world that we've never heard of? That didn't make sense. We had a group of people here that believed, trusted, and obeyed. It's why we do mission. We do mission because we believe that God is to be glorified in places that He's not glorified. And why do we believe that? Because we heard the word. We heard it. And then God was gracious enough to invite us to that commission and to that work. And yes, not all of us go physically, but I'm going to tell you, if you're part of our body, you go vicariously. Because you give, you pray, you support. And those of us who've been in this place for a long time, and we've seen how God has worked because we have been obedient. Mary believed, Joseph obeyed. Faith that produced an ethic, a work according to Jesus. And I want you to notice something about this. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away to divorce her secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You should call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Excuse me. Now all this took place to fulfill that was spoken of the Lord to the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now watch what Joseph does. Joseph awoke from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife, and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. What a guy. What a husband. What a man who would hear the word of God in the midst of impossible circumstances, hard circumstances, difficult circumstances, and move through with what God has laid upon his heart and has said. And what I love about this is that there is an immediacy about this. He hears the word and he's courageous enough to obey. Now the Bible says he was righteous, right? He was righteous. And we talked a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Simeon, that Simeon was righteous. And anybody in the Old Testament who's declared righteous, why is he righteous? Because he believes. So he's a believer. Because apart from faith, no one can be declared righteous. So when he says that about Noah, when he says that about Job, when he says that about Abraham, it's why? It's because they believe. So he's a believer. And just, I'm going to tell you, the natural, supernatural thing about belief is that it'll always follow up with a commitment and a work and a movement. Does it mean that the work saves you? You know that? We're saved by faith, by grace, through grace, by grace through faith, not as a result of whatever we can do. But I want to tell you, once you get saved, oh, the things that you can do. Oh, the things that we can do because of faith. Will we rejoice in that today? To become what God's asked us to be. So Joseph does these things, and he's got this courage about him. And he's righteous, the scripture says, and he's practicing righteousness. A righteous person walks with God. He walks by faith. He practices righteousness. And I want to tell you, when you think about courage in the midst of adversity and hardship like he did, I mean, you've got to have God with you, right? You've got to have Jesus in you. You've got to have this great faith. And I'll just say this, and we'll close with this. Joseph, I want you to know that Mary has not been messing around on you. I want you to know that what's in her womb is a child that's going to be the Holy One of God, the Son of God. And as I favored her, I choose you to raise this child. I choose you. I favor her, I favor you, I choose you to do this. Let me ask you, what has God chosen you to do? Look at your children today, your babies, your preteens, your children, your little ones. There's an assignment there. Katie spoke of this last night. Just the struggle of knowing she wanted to be a missionary, and now she's a stay-at-home mom in China. And I want to tell you, you missed a powerful testimony last night. A powerful testimony about her assignment. And how she takes that. And so you know what she did? She's homeschooling. So she's saying, if you're a homeschool mom, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I need you. I need you to help me. But there's this assignment that God has for all of us in every season of our lives. That's the beauty of the kingdom of God and how God gifted you and how God's blessed you. And I say this, will you have the courage to step and do what God's asked you to do, and not only asked you, but empowered you to do it? You've heard me say this before. I've said this more in prison when I go to prison and preach than I have for you lately. But you know what, really, when Joseph did what he did, that was really, at that particular point in his life, the last thing God asked him to do. Go marry Mary. and name him Jesus. And then, you know, later on, 2 years later, he's going to say, hey, take the child to Egypt, and he's going to get up and he's going to immediately go and do what God asked him to do, even if it didn't make sense to him. And I just want to say, what are the things that God's asked you to do that you've not done? Will you believe that God's given you the power to do that? Will you believe that? Maybe it's to forgive your dad for something he did years ago. Maybe to forgive your mom. Maybe to forgive a teacher. Maybe to forgive a supervisor. Maybe to forgive a preacher or a church. What is it that God's asked you to do? If you're in Christ, you know, and you're walking in some kind of sin and rebellion, yeah, it's time to stop by the power of the Spirit of God. To lay down the drug, to lay down the stuff that you're addicted to lay down the things that just seem to control you. Because I'm going to tell you this. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, there is power. There's power. Power to believe and power to walk it out. Why would I just believe that I've got the power to believe and not the power to walk out? What kind of gospel is that? What kind of good news is that? That's not good news. Good news is, I'll do this impossible thing in your life. Now, walk in agreement with me. That's Christmas. That's Advent. It's Advent. It's Advent when we all get together. It's Advent. And I just want to ask that you would see that today more than anything. When you gather today at the meal, and if you're with somebody from the body today, consider it Advent. Consider it Christ coming and appearing at your table, the fellowship. When you lay down tonight and you pray for your children, Advent. Because he is alive, and he's alive and well. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And the ushers are going to come for the morning offering. Lord, I thank you for Christmas faith and Christmas courage. And I thank you that today being just the 13th of December, can be Advent for us today. I thank you that it can be in July when a young housewife is playing Christmas music throughout her house. Think, Father, it can be in March on spring break when we're celebrating a time off with our family. Christmas, Advent. Yes, we celebrate as a society and as a church on the 25th of December, but God, we want to celebrate every day, just like we say it at Easter, that we want to celebrate resurrection every day. We want to celebrate your coming and your appearing every day. And I want to thank you for that. May we have that kind of thought, Lord, that we can look at each other and say, it's Christmas. And you wake up and you're like, oh, wait, we just said that, and it's April. Because of your great work. Because of your great work, Lord, I want to thank you for this offering. I want to pray, God, that as we give it to you, that you'd bless the gift and you'd bless the giver. And that, Father, that the monies that are given today would truly go, Father, to the ends of the earth, at home, and any other place in between that you've called us as a church body. We celebrate Jesus today. We thank you for it in your name. Amen and amen. All right, we'll take offering right now, and I want to tell you this. Come on up, Craig. Next week.